me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your light's a shining tree, I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world. Open my eyes to the world.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and again, that was my favorite guy, William Vitalis, singing Open My Eyes to the World. And as you know, Let's Find Out is about opening eyes to the world. Tonight, I have a fabulous guest, John Matarazzo, and John and I have a lot of things in common. The first thing that we have in common is I grew up with Les Paul and Mary Ford, and I was in their basement when they first recorded The World is Waiting for the Sunrise, and he had 6 tape recorders. They were reel-to-reel in the 1950s, and what he did is he recorded each tone, John would know what to say, each key and song on one and then on the other, like the alto and the soprano and the tenor. And then he played them all together and made the big one. That's how they used to do it. It was incredible. John has been in the music industry for years, and he's not counting anymore. He's been in so many years as a music veteran, writer, and composer. He's also a producer and a performer. He has been accompanied by the legendary engineer and producer Logan Strand to form Logical Drift in 2010, which is really another part of what I'm studying. And that has to do with the age and belief that music can change our DNA and bring us up to a higher vibration of love and service. So he's worked on a new project with a whole lot of history. And we're going to listen to some beautiful music tonight on Let's Find Out. Over the years, John has been blessed to have worked on a major record and performed with popular acts, Sly and the Family Stone, Ike and Tina Turner, Bob Dylan, etc., etc., etc. He then took a turn being led to the work on more of a conscious and spiritual-driven projects, helping to create pioneering records of ambient and electronic music with John Zorn, Zsa Wobble, Nick Harris, and Buckethead. John Matarazzo soothes the mind, body, and soul with a blend of ambient, new age spa, and world music from his new project, Logical Drift. I am an energetic healer, and I'm using some of the very newest techniques in the ascension that we're all going through right now. And I play John's music as we were getting ready for the show, and I am astounded. In fact, I intend to ask him permission to use some of his music in my work. So John has been accompanied by legendary people, and he's produced and he is worked on music through a unification medium and a new age community in order to support each other. So I'm going to say, hi, John. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
So what can you tell me about your upbringing and how were you influenced and guided in the music career? And I want to know where you grew up, what town, city, and state.
Okay. Town, city, and state I grew up in, two places. I first grew up in New York City until I was about 6 years old. And from Manhattan, my family decided to move to the suburbs. So we wound up in Hawthorne, New Jersey, which is, I guess, about 25 miles east of, west of Manhattan. And that's pretty much where I grew up, between Hawthorne, New Jersey, and Paterson, New Jersey.
Well, I graduated from Ridgewood High School.
Wow. We're neighbors.
I know. I was born right on Brookside Avenue, right across the street from Ridgewood High School, and that's where I grew up. And my son is now a doctor in Ramsey, New Jersey. And I just told you before the show that I have a condo in Mawla, New Jersey, right around the corner from where Les and Mary lived.
Wow. So, as I said, we're neighbors.
We are. So I read over your bio, and I read that you began to write and compose your own music within the jazz and classical genres earlier in your career, and even inked a music publishing deal. Would you elaborate more on that experience, and what direction were you heading for?
When I was very young, I just started my own little rock band, and I really, all I knew was I'd like to play music. And, you know, at that time, you know, the popular music was the Beatles, and so that's what I was doing.
You grew up in the 60s?
Yeah, exactly. And basically, we were just interested in just playing, you know, the pop music of the day. That was, you know, that was the thing to do. And from there, I kind of just kept going, playing more. And as I got older, you know, developed and grew into other areas. But I really didn't have like a sense of, I knew I wanted to do music, but I didn't have a sense of, well, I want to do like a certain kind of music. I was just interested in all kinds of music.
That's how we learn. And did you make a recording at that time?
Yeah, I met another fellow who was a bass player from a different school. He was going to DePaul High School in Wayne, New Jersey, and he was playing bass, and he said, can you write a couple of songs? I had never written a song in my life. I had no clue what writing a song was like. And I just said, yeah, sure, I'll write some songs, and we'll get together and rehearse. So I think it was the day before we were scheduled to meet, I realized I hadn't written anything, and I was on the bus on the way home from school, and I just quickly wrote some stuff and brought it there, and it worked, and I've been writing ever since.
So did you have any that became a hit?
At that time, no.
Okay.
No. It was just, you know, that was just youthful enthusiasm, I guess. That's about the best way I can put it.
You know, we're probably about the same age, because as I was right around the corner from you growing up over the county line in Bergen and you were in Passaic County, I was on something called American Bandstand with Dick Clark.
Oh,
and I
very
was on
cool.
the show for 3.5 years, and I met a lot of wonderful people at that time. So as you became an established writer, you began to perform with some major popular acts like Tina Turner, which then leading into the concert tours with Sly and the Family Stone, and later the Weather Report. I don't remember that group. How did all of this come about for you, and do you have any memorable memories to share with us working with such popular people?
Well, Weather Report was a very, very important, I guess, for lack of a better word, experimental jazz group that had a lot of people like Joe Zawinul. You know, if you're a jazz enthusiast, you know these people. They had a lot of influence on the kinds of modern jazz that Miles Davis wound up doing in the 70s and early 80s. But I really got involved because my business manager at that time was connected with all these people, and that's really how I got to know them all and how I got to work with them all. A fellow named Al Aronowitz, who was my business manager. He was a writer for the New York Post. He was Bob Dylan's manager early on before Bob Dylan was taken over by Albert Grossman. Mm-hmm. So Al Aronowitz had a lot of connections all over. He used to write a column called The Pop Scene, which is kind of the equivalent of what, if you're a New Yorker, you know Cindy Adams. She writes for the Post. She writes.
I didn't know Cindy.
Yeah, and well, he was kind of the equivalent back in the 60s. He was writing a column called The Pop Scene. It was basically what's going on with pop artists all over America and all over the world. You know, who saw who was out last night. You know, a Cindy Adams type of gossip column, as it were.
Well, the reason that I know Cindy is because I grew up with somebody by the name of John Booker. And John Booker had John Booker and his Sugar Babies, and he played jazz at the Red Lion in New York, and also at a place called Michael's Pub, with a then unbeknownst little guy that played the clarinet named Woody Allen, who John had gone to high school with in Brooklyn. So we used to go over and hear them every Monday night at Michael's Pub. Those were the good old days, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so, you know, it was basically, it all boiled down to social contacts. You know, who you happen to know, who was friends with who, and pretty much that's pretty much how I got to work with all these people. You know, I knew Al, and Al was always saying, okay, I want you to try, you know, I want you to meet this guy, try doing something with him, and it was like that. It was very casual.
I know, but they were wonderful people and very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
My older sisters were famous, and that's how I got to meet some of them. They were the Tony twins, and they did black and white television commercials live for Sid Caesar. And your show of shows, they were on Arthur Godfrey. They were Ed Wynn, all those fabulous shows on NBC. So that was exciting. And then, of course, with Bandstand, we met some other people. In fact, I dated Bobby Darin for a while.
Wow.
Years ago. It was fun. You know, I want to get to listening to your wonderful Asian music. I really would like to maybe jump the gun and ask you, how did you come up with this beautiful Asian music?
I was in, I travel a lot. So I do a lot of field recordings. During the 90s, I was doing a lot of traveling and doing recordings in South America, Asia, Africa. And I especially enjoyed doing work in Southeast Asia and Thailand and Burma, which was very difficult to get into at the time. And, you know, I had a lot of these recordings which I had done of the indigenous people, you know, doing their traditional music, and it always stuck with me. I just always loved it, so I always went back and listened to these recordings and just said, someday I'm going to write things that, you know, that will reflect my feelings about these experiences. And that's pretty much how it came about.
Well, you did a great job. And you know what I love? I love it when they're playing the music and then they do that slow dance. It's almost like they're moving their entire body inside and out. But they really know how to move to the music, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's almost born in them.
Yeah, it is. It's great rhythm. Let's listen to Chiang Mai Drift. Is that how you say it, John?
Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai Drift.
Chiang Mai Drift. Let's listen to that, and you'll get an idea of what we're talking about, because this music is really spectacular and helps you to relax the body, mind, and spirit. Drifting with the breeze with that, John.
I'm glad you like it.
Is this one of the first ones that you wrote?
No, this is something fairly recent. You know, as I said, I've been writing for years. There was a prior album that we did as Logical Drift. In fact, there are two. But this is the most recent. So it's, I guess I wrote this about a year and a half ago. Yeah, about a year and a half ago. My family and I live in Poland in the summer months. We have a house there.
Oh,
and usually
lovely.
That's where I go, like, for July and August and just do a lot of writing there. I have a studio there, and that's where I do most of my writing in the summer months.
That's called your place. I have my place, too.
Yeah, exactly.
When did the transition begin for you to move from jazz and express your spiritual interest in both on a personal and musical career level? How did that happen for you?
Well, you know, I eventually came to the belief, as Ravi Shankar has said, that all music comes from God. Whatever kind of music it is, doesn't matter what culture it comes from. If it's, you know, whatever music it is, it comes from God. So whether it's jazz, folk, world, whatever you want to call it, New Age. And so I just, you know, having that sensibility, I just kind of said, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to express things. It doesn't matter what genre I'm working in or what style. I just want to have that feeling. You know, John Coltrane said the same thing, the famous jazz saxophone player. They asked him, like, when he was in his 30s, he died when he was like 35 years old.
Oh, boy.
But they said to him, you know, because he was playing a very, a whole new approach to jazz, a very new style, and they said, what do you hope to achieve by doing this? You know, doing this, you know, this mm-hmm. whole new style is totally upsetting traditional jazz sensibilities. And he said, well, I hope to become a saint. That was his answer. That's what he was doing.
You know, I don't know if you've heard of Richard Schulman or William Vitalis, who always does my opening song, but both of these people have said the same thing, that music comes from God and they just allow spirit to move through them. And Richard is famous for his composition of something called Assisi, which he went to Assisi in Italy and sat where St. Francis had walked, and he wrote the album Assisi, and it's just beautiful music. So it's wonderful to be so gifted, but I think that it's a rare soul that can tune in, John, and produce it, because it's somebody that has to love God, love spirit, and really be on a high level. With all this experience, you're also a businessman, and you're an entrepreneur at heart, and you've been helped from Subharmonic Records that launched both ambient and electronic music releases with some influential artists. How did that happen? That probably was how you began to move into this music.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the record label, the music business side of music. You know, having a record label and you know, looking for new music is kind of what I do to pay the bills.
I call that the practical side.
Yeah, right. It's the practical side. And, you know, so I'm always looking for new things that, you know, kind of, I think, fit my sensibility, you know, for kind of work along with what I think, you know, music should be about. And so along with Bill Laswell, who would produce a number of recordings of world music, a lot of different world music artists like Trilok Gurtu, you worked with Ravi Shankar and had a lot of connections in the jazz world, also did things with Miles Davis. I got together with him, and he proposed, you know, doing this new ambient label called Subharmonic, and bringing a lot of kind of, I guess, a combination of traditional world music elements blended with, you know, today's modern music, you know, jazz and hip-hop and rap. All kind, you know, bringing in all the modern elements, and that's kind of how we got together and did this, you know, this whole project.
Well, music is moving along, and I do feel that it's beginning to be elevated. You've also worked for some heavy hitters within the New Age and world music community, from the likes of Ravi Shankar to Nuzhat Fakhad, Ali Khan, Herbie Hancock, and Lee Scratch Perry. I know there's more artist names I could drop here, and this may be a broad question, but how did you ever access these artists? How did you meet them? What prompted you to work with them, and what happened there? Was that a big party or what?
No. They came across, you know, like one at a time, like with artists like Herbie Hancock. He was working with Bill Laswell. Bill had a hit with him back in the 80s called Rocket, which is a big pop hit. And Herbie was a highly respected jazz pianist and arranger. And we wound up doing some projects with him, through my relationship with Bill Laswell. And we did Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan came to us after Martin Scorsese did a movie back in the, in the late 80s called...
He's a very special man. He's also quite spiritual, and he doesn't show it, but he is.
Yeah, I'm just having.
He drew
like
a blank. Anyway, he did a movie in the 80s, and what happened?
And part of the soundtrack was this. He used as part of the soundtrack the music of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, which is a Gowali singer from Pakistan, and the music just took everybody by surprise. From there, I started hearing more of this music, and I went directly to Faisalabad and contacted his record label. And they referred me to a company in Saudi Arabia that had the rights, and so we finally made a deal, and I got Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, and eventually he went on to become a very popular artist in the new world music scene that was developing and exploding at the time. There were other things going on, like the Lambada. There was a big explosion in the late 90s of world music.
Yes.
And Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan was a part of it, the Lambada. There was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Anyway, I got to his record label people, and we made a deal to release some of his recordings in the U.S. So I got to work. When he came on tour, I met with him, and, we did a few things together. And it's... that's kind of how things just happen. It's just like meet somebody, talk to somebody,
make a
contact, and it can just let it build from there.
Do you know Steve Halperin?
Yes, I do.
Because he's a great person, too, and he does wonderful music. It's similar to yours, but it's different because you definitely have the Asian twist. My other son is in China now, and he teaches English to the Chinese, and he just loves this type of music. And has been a lover of, Elton John and the Beatles and everybody, but he loves this type of music.
Well, Steve Halperin and I share the same distribution company. We're both distributed by Allegro out of Portland, Oregon.
That's wonderful.
So I usually run into Steve like once a year when Allegro has an annual record label convention, so we usually run into each other there.
Now, I want to be practical and talk a little bit about your website. Could you please give us your website address?
Yeah, it's www.logicaldrift, logicaldrift.com, logicaldrift.com.
Isn't there not a place on that website where you can download the music?
Yeah, you can download free tracks. You can download tracks to sample. You can buy the albums, you can also see video clips. Upcoming events.
That's great. And how did you get the cover designed? I also love the color and the cover and what it looks like. Who did that?
We have a number of graphic people that we work with. We use a company called ABET Design. The cover for Colors of Asia was designed by people over at Kingdom One Entertainment, who represent us for marketing and promotions.
That's great. Well, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I am talking to John Matarazzo, and we are listening to some of his wonderful music to relax you and drift you off into Never Never Land. We're going to take our break, and we're going to start by playing something called, how do you say this, John, Frangipani?
Frangipani.
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 So we're going to listen to some of Frangipani, and then we're going to have our break, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about how you knew Bob Dylan and some of the other interesting things in your career, John. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bi-monthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. Join us Saturday, October 20th, in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, for the 5th annual BCMA Holistic Spiritual and Health Fair at the James Laura House, 132 North Main Street, Doylestown, Pennsylvania. There is an entrance donation to our charities for $5, as well as lunch being served. We'd love you to join us for the day. You can have a psychic reading from one of several famous national psychics, as well as local readers. Experience various forms of massage and bodywork, including Reiki, the Reconnection, and the Fifth Dimension Vibrational Healing. Learn how to transform your life with the many holistic services available. And enjoy the offerings of metaphysical businesses and our vendor. All the while knowing that some of the proceeds from this fair go to our local charities. This year, October 20th, 2012, our charities are the Red Cross, the Lower Bucks County Division for our homeless, as well as the Circle of Miracles Church Building Fund. The BCMA is a nonprofit organization focused on teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility. To pre-schedule your psychic reading or energy healing appointment, call 215-996-0646. For further information and pictures of our psychics and vendors, go to our website, thebcma.net. Hope to see all of you at the fair. It's going to be a great day. Nationally known psychic and spiritual counselor Elizabeth Joyce teaches around the world. Elizabeth has designed a set of 8 online classes called webinars that began on September 21st and continue through the end of 2012. The subject is Transition into Abundance, Success, and Peace. Create your life you want while you're easing through 2012 into 2013. This is a time of new beginning. Since 2007, we have all been going through a purging process that has brought up and pushed out anything in our lives that is not serving us to our highest good. As we complete 2012, we may feel more pressure and find that this necessary cleansing process can be confusing, overwhelming, life-changing, even though we know that we have no other option but to walk through it. We have no more time to ignore dysfunctional relationships, our negative habits, or situations any longer. If we continue to try to hold on to the past, to stay in the same old, for security's sake, even though it may be harmful to our soul, then you can be sure more painful situations will surface to get our attention and motivate us into taking some sort of positive action. It is time to let go of the past, to let go of some of the belief systems that you have been raised up to accept. First, we move away from negative situations. Then we take a breath and heal. Then we can clear a space called the void to move into new beginning. This awakening process is orchestrated by your blessed higher self, which is the God within. Our soul, which is always striving to move us upward towards the divine light. If we want the confusion, upset, craziness to stop, we must take the time to meditate and remember who we are and why we are on this planet Earth. It is said, we are never given any more than we can handle, and we have everything within us that we need to overcome and accomplish our desires. Luckily, this awakening process promises to happen quickly and can be rather easy for you when you connect to the hierarchy and work with your new spiritual chakras. We have simply forgotten how to accomplish these changes. These webinar classes are on Friday nights and are scheduled every other week right through the end of the year from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Go to the website www.new-visions.com and sign up for the webinar classes. Begin to work with yourself and prepare yourself for anything that comes your way in the future. Rise to your highest good, develop your abundance, and embrace the new energies as they uplift your life and you to wonderfully brave new beginnings. You can also choose to listen to the podcast of every single one of the classes that have been given already, and you will also be able to view all of the graphics. As you sign up to do that, I will get an email and I will be able to email you any notes that you would need to catch up. Actually, there isn't any catching up. We're just proceeding onward. And every class is new, unique, and designed to help you just step a little further into your future success. Don't forget to sign up at the webinar website, www.new-visions.com. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio. The number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out, and now it's time for the Metaphysical Book Corner. This week, Let's Find Out brings you the fabulous book by James Twyman, Emissary of Light. This book contains new and compelling insights into the emissaries of light and their missions for peace. Peace and universal love is the essence of the gospel preached by all the enlightened ones. The Lord has preached that equanimity is the Dharma. Forgive do I creatures all, and let all creatures forgive me. Unto all I have enmity, and unto none enmity. Know that violence is the root cause of all miseries in the world. Violence, in fact, is the knot of bondage. Do not injure any living being. This is the eternal, perennial, and unalterable way of life. A weapon, howsoever powerful it may be, can always be superseded by a superior one. And no weapon can, however, be superior than the nonviolence of love. This is from Chapter 4, The Guide, from the book Emissary of Light by James Twyman. This is a book full of wisdom wrapped inside an amazing adventure. Learn the powers that you have to make a difference, to make peace, and to transform both inner and outer conflicts. This show tonight on Let's Find Out is about peace
and creating peace on the planet Earth and throughout the galaxy and solar system of our environment. This book will help you understand how that can be created by each and every one of us as we go into the oneness and the new light of 2011. Emissary of Light by James Twyman, author of The Art of Spiritual Peacemaking. Go out and pick it up. I'm sure it will open your heart and open you to new ways of being.
Well, good evening again. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're halfway through the hour of Let's Find Out. And this has been such a delightful evening, and it's all about music, and it's one of my favorite subjects. I'm with John Matizzaro, and he is a wonderful jazz musician, and he has created a wonderful album of Asian music that is born to absolutely teach you how to relax, how to meditate, how to do some yoga, get inside of yourself. Welcome back, John.
It's good to be back.
You know, I know that you did some work with Bob Dylan way back when, and I'd love you to tell us about that experience.
Sometimes I think it's so far back. I've got to go back in the Wayback Machine. But actually, it came through my contact with it. You recall I told you that Al Aronowitz was my manager.
Yes.
He was Bob Dylan's manager before Albert Grossman got involved with Bob Dylan. And Al also managed a fellow by the name of Dave Bromberg, who was a bluegrass guitarist from Tarrytown, New York. And mm-hmm. I started working with Dave, and Dave was doing session work for Bob Dylan. And one day Dave said, why don't you come down to the studio? You know, Dave, Bob is going to be down there. We're working on a couple of tracks for a new album. And, I'd like you to meet him because I think he might like working with you. So I went down to the studio. And this is Columbia Studios over on 52nd Street. And, he introduced me to Bob, and we started talking. Very nice guy. Bob was very friendly and, you know, just very open. And, you know, we started jamming together, you know, just working on some kind of folky bluegrass kind of things. And from there, we just kind of developed a friendship. And I, you know, eventually wound up going out on the road with him a little bit, doing, some backup guitar accompanying him. And, over the years, the relationship just kind of developed, and we've been friends ever since.
That's wonderful. Neat stories, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I know it goes all the way back when to Dick Clark and Bobby Darin. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
This can probably take an hour in itself, but can you tell us about how the projects have changed your spiritual direction? Because I know you've been to Bali, Indonesia, Sumatra, Tibet, North Africa, and Morocco, one of my favorite places, Malai, and Thailand. So how has going to all of these different places changed your thoughts about music and maybe even changed your own musical DNA? And aren't you about to go to Brazil? That should be very exciting.
Yeah, I am. I've been to Brazil before, but I love Brazil. It's a great, great country. You know, people are just very sweet, very beautiful.
They're
people.
Wonderful. And they are. That's true.
Very unique culture. But, as I said before, I've always been interested in sounds. Different, you know, sounds just touch me. It doesn't matter what they come from. And when I started listening to music from different parts of the world, you know, I tried to stop listening like I was listening to American pop music or American jazz or listening to classical music from Europe. I just started just listening to the sounds.
Right. And, you know, there's a whole new science that's being done in Russia as well as the United States on how sound can heal. And some of the doctors in the hospitals are using sound to quicken healing. And a lot of the sound will sound like this album that you've made. And I think that it's wonderful that you've tuned in. Logical Drift, the name itself means more to me than just Logical Drift. It is logical both inside and out because it leads you to a place of wellness and tranquility, especially stimulating the chakra portals. And I'm an expert on the chakras. And to feel them open and move through your music to me is incredible. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. We try really to think in terms of using the sounds to, not only to relax, but in the relaxation to, like, stimulate sensibilities, like feelings of warmth, feelings of comfort. So we're always working along those lines. Even if it's got, like, a kind of a persistent, like, a rhythmic structure, it's always to kind of to work in sync with your body's own rhythms. Your biorhythms. And so we're always working along those lines to kind of think about, you know, a lot of the times you're coming to the studio, you'll see guys play music playing, and you won't see people dancing. You'll see guys, you know, laying back in a chair.
Yeah, swaying back and forth of that. You know, let's have a little sense of that now. Let's everybody get ready to sway back and forth, because we're going to listen to something called Dharma Lens. And I picked this one, John, especially for at this time, towards the close of the evening, as we get ready for our meditation. So let's listen to Dharma Lens by John Maserati. Like a soundscape to me. You can close your eyes and go almost anywhere. And John, let's have your website again, please.
It's www.logicaldrift.com.
And I'm very excited about your new Brazilian music project. I think that's going to be fabulous as well. I hope you'll come back on the air when that is complete.
I would look forward to it. That would be great.
And finally, you're just about to launch your mobile application titled Zenden. What is that about on iTunes and iPad and Windows? Can you briefly explain what this is about? This is terrific.
Yeah, it's a mobile app. You know, you can download in the iTunes App Store or in the Android App Store or in the Windows application store. And basically, it's a little app that gives you the ability to, one, stream audio to do. We have four audio tracks that are basically for doing yoga and meditation with yoga, a 15-minute track, a 30-minute track, a 45-minute track, and a 60-minute track, which are updated regularly. And also there are video clips from our various albums, your music videos.
Must be fabulous.
Some spiritual, some kind of Zen meditations to meditate on while you're doing yoga, and that's it right now. It's kind of a simple app. There's not a whole lot to it, but it's free for anyone who's an enthusiast who wants to use it to do meditation, yoga, or spiritual enlightenment, whatever.
Well, I would imagine that if you're not feeling well or you're feeling a little bit stressed, that it would be wonderful to help raise your vibration and bring you to a place of peace.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. That's what we'd like to see.
I think that's what it does, John, and I'm thrilled that you were on the show. So it's been wonderful. Thank you for coming, and I'm sure that we'll be in touch soon. Again, I want you to really come back after the Brazilian project is done, and it's been such an honor to have you and speak with you. Thank you very much. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And next week, we're going to have another musician. His name is Eric Altman, and this would be on October 22nd. And Eric does music that helps you go to another place as well. He does living peace harmonics, and he is going to talk about his special music and what he does, and we'll have more of his music on. So thank you for listening. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. And I would want you to get ready for the meditation. We're going to be meditating on your life's mission. A very special lady by the name of Louisa Rajay has created this meditation for us tonight. Meditation for Life's Mission. And you can Google Louisa, L-U-I-S-A, Rajay, R-A-S-I-E-J, if you want to find out more about Louisa and her work. She's a very close friend, and I totally adore her. So let's get ready. Both feet flat on the floor. Take some deep breaths. This is Elizabeth Joyce again from Let's Find Out. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Sit comfortably in a chair, uncross your arms and legs, and remove any distraction. Allow yourself to be supported and relax. Allow the breath to begin to move you. Breathe in, close your eyes, and with your out breath, let tension drain from the top of your head. Let it drain from your face and jaw. Relax your neck and shoulders. Your arms are getting heavy and loose. Relax your chest and your belly. Relax your hips and sink more deeply into your seat. Relax your legs and let tension drain down through your calves, through the bottom of your feet, into the floor. Let the energy and the tension go down through your body into the floor. As you sink deeper into this state of relaxation, imagine yourself in a meadow. And ahead of you is a movie screen. Walk towards it and settle down comfortably in front of it so you can see well. There's an image coming. It's an image of you. You at a time when you were a very young child, when you were totally and fully expressive, free to be completely who you are, 100%. At that moment, you knew exactly who you were and what you wanted. You are totally in your essence. This is the most essential form of you. Watch yourself being you at your most powerful. Who are you at this moment? What are you doing? What do you long for? What do you have to say? A door somewhere near your most essential self will open, and through will come your supporters. These are people and beings that most support your purpose and will help you on your path to expressing it. Take a look as the door opens and they come in to join you. You will see some people from your life, known or unknown. You might even see spirit beings who might be in your life in some form, seen or unseen, to assist you. Let them gather around you now. Take a good look at the supporters who have gathered around you. Let them tell you how they are meant to support you, to give your dreams an expression. Go ahead and ask these supporters what they know about your purpose in life. Ask them now if there is anything else they need to tell you at this particular time. observe yourself fulfilling your purpose, surrounded by your supporters. Know you can always come back here to this sense of accomplishment, where you know who you are and what you are here to fulfill. You're meant to share your gifts in the world, and it's time to do so. You're ready to connect with the pieces and people that are meant to guide you. The world is waiting for you